This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Here's a guaranteed surefire smash hit. Gilligan's Ass.
It's okay. We're not live, are we?
Fuck.
Hi. Ugh. I'm not sure what happened here. We're apparently we're live. Okay. I need a link, David, for our guest that's going to come in. We finally have somebody that we're going to bring in here. It's fine now. Cause since we're live, it's fine. We're live now. So it's not a big deal. Okay. All right. I'm going to send this link to Plain Truth then. Reds, Jared, do you want to kind of talk about No Concepts while I get this over to him, and then once he gets in, we'll get rolling.
Oh God, what is there to talk about?
Your no show?
So basically start from the beginning, I guess, with it?
Well, really, really quick, for those who don't remember, was almost 2 months ago now, Red?
I'm guessing.
Sound about right? Yeah. No Concepts quite literally paid to have a debate with Red. Paid $500 through a super chat to schedule a debate one-on-one, No Concepts with his supercomputer versus Red's rhetoric. So, Red, how long ago did this get confirmed for day and time of tonight's debate?
5 fucking days ago. He knew the time, he knew the date, and we were communicating through email. I sent him the link to this over a fucking hour ago, and nothing.
Well, easiest $500 you've ever made.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because now I have a question to ask you guys. If he's going to constantly, you know, just not show up, am I always obligated to actually show up whenever this dude's like, oh, yeah, I'll actually be here, then he doesn't show up, then I actually have to be here to give this dude his fucking money's worth?
Oh, you agreed on a time and he didn't show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you have any obligation past that. Now, I think that a supercomputer probably overloaded from the dumb fuckery that was being inputted to it, but... You know, that's his call. But yeah, I mean, we made this happen. We arranged it. You're here. Jared's here. We're here. Audience is here. We're only missing No Concepts and Jesus. So
Jesus is always here.
He's always amongst us.
He's that special feeling in the cockles of your heart.
Yes.
So
I'm a little disappointed in this, though. I was really kind of like, really want to see what he had to put in the supercomputer thing. And I'm really a little bit taken aback.
Well, this is the debate that he paid me to do. I am here. Where the fuck is he? So I did a few things to make sure that we were getting this message out to him. I emailed him not once, not twice, on two separate threads because he was telling me that he had issues with one email. So I was corresponding with him with a different email. Then on Twitter, I know he has access to his fucking Twitter account because that's how he initially got in contact with me. I went ahead and I replied to him and I asked all of my followers on Twitter to send him a message saying, where the fuck are you at? With a link to his Twitter page so people could, you know, get that message to him. And even after all of that, nothing in my email, nothing in my Twitter, no difference whatsoever, nothing. So there you go.
You know, I think Darren Marsh may have figured it out. His Multitronic M5 has gone rogue and killed him.
Ah, so that's where we're at right now.
Did I show up?
That's where we're at right now.
Okay.
Ah, good. Well, thanks for coming on such short notice.
Yeah, well, you know, it just worked out.
It did. No concepts. I, too, am kind of surprised. I want to see the supercomputer. Plain Truth, do you have a supercomputer handy or laying around?
No, I don't. I don't. I'm going to.
How about a handy calculator?
I use my iPhone.
Whatever.
So, guys, you're going to get to see in real time us kind of hammer out a format, I guess, real quick so that we can all be on the same page. We'll just do this in real time. And since Jared, you are moderating, do you kind of want to broker some starting ground between these two and how we want to proceed from here?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and get with that. Before we get into too many particulars of it, I am going to lay out the general format that we try to adhere to for you. Well, so who do we have taking No Concepts place? How would you like me to refer to you?
Am I the one? You can just call me Travis. That's fine.
Yes. Just Travis. Okay. Travis. Yeah. That's what I saw come up in the chat. I just wanted to make sure that's what you actually wanted me to refer to you as instead of just fine. Assuming. So Travis, a typical format that we go with is quite simple. Provide positive evidence for your stance, put it up for scrutiny, and then Reds will get to rebuttal. You will get to rebuttal what Red has to present, and then you'll have a free form in round three. Does that sound like something that you would be able to do?
I will try my best on the fly. Sure.
Okay. Well, the reason why I ask is because everyone who has tried before you has failed during the first step of actually providing evidence for their claim.
You did get practice last week, though, Travis.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah, I have a little bit of practice, but yeah, I'm not afraid.
Sweet. All right, so
go ahead and just drop an Eminem music clip right here.
So getting into it, so the way we're going to go is each of you will have Red, did you want to do the typical 5-minute introduction, then the presentation, then the rebuttal? Is that what you had in mind initially?
Here's the thing. I was actually given a lot of time to prepare for this because I knew that this was going to happen. So I have a shitload of links. I have my spiel all ready to go and stuff like that. This guy was called probably from a nap and isn't really prepared for this. So I don't really want to dogpile the guy because I'm going to come forward and it's going to sound really fucking good and he has to go on the fly. It's just not a fair setup, in my opinion. If I am going to royally smash the shit of a flat earther, I want it to be in a way where there is no excuse. So in this one, I don't actually want to stick to a format. I would much rather just have a conversation with the dude and you guys just try to keep everything civilized, I guess. Because it's not fair to him, and it's also not fair to the audience, I think, you know. So if anyone needs to be mad at anybody, be mad at No Concepts. He's the one that fucked up here. So I don't think we should leave it to Travis to save the day, because that's just not fair to him.
But maybe he will.
I mean,
I tell you, if he's going to present positive evidence for Flat Earth, I am going to be listening with great intent. He will have my full undivided attention with everybody else. So this might be
a
first.
We have to shut up, Steve.
No pressure.
Yeah.
Hasn't started yet. No pressure there, Travis. Nothing.
I just received information that No Concepts has in fact deleted or unlisted all of his videos.
What?
Oh man! Oh man!
Can you say that again for us, Case? Though we didn't hear that correctly.
Can I get a line to this?
No Concepts has in fact deleted or unlisted all of his videos, and that was from Lookapig. So.
Okay.
Yep, and I just
interesting.
I just got the same message. So yeah,
Jared. Copy paste the link.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which okay, like, so, I actually just got a text message saying that.
Shit.
Well, let's check that out. Let's worry about what No Concepts did after we.
Yeah.
Since we are live, we have people waiting
Red's kicked his ass without even having a debate with him. Yeah. That's how scared he was to lead at his channel. That's a first. I'm impressed.
So now all the pressure does wind up on you, Travis. Sorry. But you're the man for coming in last minute. You can do it.
All right. Thanks, coach.
Hurrah.
Flat Earth Coach. There's my alternative channel, Flat Earth Coach. This is great.
That's amazing. Okay, so Jared. Actually, you know what? With what you were saying, Red, I do agree in the vein of being as fair and equitable as possible. A more loose discussion type format would be best for this. So with that, who would you like me to flip a coin for who goes first to start going into their material, not put Travis entirely on the spot and make it a fair shake?
Sound kosher? It could have, guys, this could get really interesting if we wanted to. Do you want to kind of flip that handicap that you have, Reds, in terms of you being prepared? And because there's another flat earther that just emailed me that wants to know if he can too be a part of this conversation.
You know what? Bring them in. The more, the better.
Bring them all on. And by the way, I've heard that what happened was the supercomputer had told No Concepts is round, and that's why he decided to. He actually, and my on his image it says a star, and it says it's round. So I think I looked at his thing. It's round.
Okay, so there you go. Now, Travis, you will have a partner, and Reds, you will have your whatever you prepared. I think that's a good even playing field there. This could be fun.
Yeah, not for me.
Oh, pick up this excitement in here, guys.
Sorry, I'm trying to garner my thoughts.
Somebody, okay, let me get this link out. Okay, so y'all can go ahead and start talking or whatever. I'm gonna get this other link to this guy, and then we'll bring him in.
Okay,
outstanding. So, coin flip or no? Because otherwise I'll just close my eyes, go eeny meeny miny mo on the screen.
just
that's about the same.
Fuck it, I'm gonna give Travis the choice. Travis, how do you want to do this?
Why don't you go ahead first? Because I'm trying to get some thoughts together, so I'll let you go first. That's fine with me.
Sounds good. Okay, so I guess I'll just go into a spiel.
Yeah, you might as well just go ahead and give your evidence, your presentation, because that's quite accurately what it is. So, mm-hmm. Red, the floor is yours.
All right, we're spieling it. So, Bulinator, do me a favor, post said links in the description right now. And that way, after this is done, people can reference them as I go through. Sound like a plan?
10-4.
Sweet. All right, so let's go ahead and do this. Okay, so the way that this was supposed to go is that I was going to say, first of all, thanks to Non-Sequitur Show for hosting this debate, and thanks to Jared for moderating this debate, and thanks to No Concepts for agreeing to debate me, and thanks for his generous donation of $500. Yes to the second bit, now the first bit is a sensitive subject. So we're not going to talk about that. So to start off, let me draw your attention to that big glowy thing in the sky called the sun. And if I sound like a broken record and you've heard this shit before, I'm sorry, okay? But these arguments have still not been debunked, so they're just as valid. So let's do this. On October 1st, 2017, my friend Slicebar Kane posted a video where a bunch of volunteers from all over the planet measured the altitude angle of the sun during the equinox. Their goal was to find out if the round Earth model would agree with the data gathered from their observation. So participants in 9 different countries conducted this simple observation, which is very similar to the Eratosthenes observation done over 2,000 years ago. And this observation you can find in link 1. Using the latitude of each participant, the sun's elevation angle was measured during solar noon. These angles were then placed on a sphere to see if the angles corresponded accordingly. The end result was this. When the lines of altitude were plotted, the only model that resulted in 0 contradictions was the globe model. This observation even verified the accepted size of the globe, because the stick lines, which were the lines that were perpendicular to the Earth's surface during the observation, they all converged to a point being the center of a sphere, and those measurements were used to calculate the size of our globe. This observation also hinted that the sun was extremely far away. So if that could be verified, then Sly's observation is rooted in reality to an even greater extent. Well, lucky for him, this comports with my observation that I did 2 years ago in my video, Satetism.com versus the sun. That is listed in link 2. The sun has a known angular size of around 0.53 degrees as seen from Earth, with not enough fluctuation in that value to help the flat earthers. And this is the case all day, all year, all the time, no matter where you are. If you were to look at the sun through a solar filter and track it all day long like I did 2 years ago, you would see that the sun would remain the same size in the frame. This makes sense, because if the sun is the size asserted and at the distance asserted, we would not expect to see any shift in angular size as predicted by the actual law of perspective. That law of perspective is alpha equals 2 times the arctan of g over 2r. And so, if you wish to learn how one would find the exact distance to the sun, there's a video on my channel that educates Jaronism on the methodology that will be listed in link 3 down below. But the exact value is not really important here, so we'll move on. So observations done in reality confirm what we would expect to see from a distant sun. And that distant sun comports with the observations done by Sly and his volunteers, showing the size and shape of our Earth. But let's not limit ourselves to just the sun. Let's take the entire sky into account, because also how you observe above your head can tell you a lot about what is under your feet. How to do this? Simple. An equatorial mount is a mount for telescopes and cameras that compensate for the Earth's rotation relative to the sky. It works by having one rotational axis parallel to the Earth's axis. The advantage of an equatorial mount lies in its ability to allow the instrument attached to it to stay fixed on any celestial object while only rotating one axis at a constant speed. This mount works so well that it's used by astrophotographers because it corrects for field rotation, which is a huge benefit because field rotation will ruin any long exposure shot. But the most beautiful thing about the EQ mount, at least to me, is that it works and the implications are massive. When trying to model an EQ mount working as it does in reality, it must be placed on the surface of a sphere, link 4. When we modeled it to comport with what was actually observed, as in the EQ mount working, the only model that again resulted in 0 contradictions was the round Earth model. To make matters worse, or better, depending on which side of the debate you're on, it also verifies the size of our spherical Earth. Because if you were at the north celestial pole, the axis of your mount would have to be pointing straight up. Move to the equator, the axis would have to be turned by 90 degrees in order for the EQ mount to make those epic observations again. The distance between those two points and the difference in angle give us a value for the radius of the Earth. So not only does this mount have to be on a sphere, it has to be on a sphere the size of the Earth to comport with reality. And when you compare the values between Sly's equinox observation and the EQ telescope observation, they all converge on the same answer for the size and shape of our Earth. So we have multiple lines of confirmation without having to run to NASA and spending millions of dollars. The next line of evidence is direct observation of curvature from the ground. It's commonly pointed out by many who engage in this debate that water always finds its level, and this is something I agree with. Water does find its level. And if by being level, water would have to conform to a curved surface, then large bodies of water would allow us to see curvature directly with the help of a visual reference, because level does not mean flat. So how would we go about this? Well, this observation can be quite difficult to make because we're at the mercy of atmospheric clarity and atmospheric distortion. So this is where being very selective with the days you plan on making the observation become very important. But if you do make your observation on a very clear day, you will see what a user by name of MC the MC1 was able to record. That's listed in link 5. You will see a tanker ship being partially obscured by the horizon, yet with absolutely no visual limitations via the atmosphere. The observation was done on a very clear day, and it's also worth pointing out that we have enough angular sights to work with when it comes to the ship in question that we should see the entire thing in full. There's only one reason why the ship would be partially not visible, and that's if something was in the way. And the video clearly shows that it's the water that's in the way, the very same water that finds its own level. And also, another thing that I want to point out about that video is that there is no doubling, there is no stretching of the image. It is a perfectly clear day. So blaming this phenomenon on atmospheric distortion is automatically debunked right then and there because this observation is very clear and also very nice. The only thing that could make this type of observation better is if I did it myself, which I did, which is listed in link 6. Even though it's not as clear as the first video that was referenced, it was clear enough to show the geometry of the planet at work. Another way this could be done is with a visual reference as listed in link 7, because my good friend and John Cena lookalike named Soundly lives near Lake Pontchartrain and Lake Pontchartrain Causeway, and he was able to see the curvature of the Earth with the help of this bridge, which is level over the water. What's amazing here is that this observation was also virtually modeled with the assumed size and shape of the globe. And when you compare the computer renderings to what was actually observed, they match perfectly. This shows that the round Earth model made a prediction, and that turned out to be the case. This is great because only models that are able to reliably make predictions like that are the ones that should be trusted. And finally, and this is the last thing I'll get into, we need to talk about some awesome scenery or awesome visual phenomena. On September 2nd, 2015, December 22nd, 2017, and June 29, 2018, the geometry of our planet made itself known in a beautiful way. As stated in previous debate, an illuminated sphere with a single light source will have edges to that illumination. And the edges of that illuminated surface will be tangent with the line of light. This also means that just before dawn and just after dusk, light would actually be heading upwards and away from the surface relative to your location. So even though it would be dark where you are, there is indeed sunlight streaming overhead. You just happen to be in a location where the sun is blocked by the curvature of the Earth. So if an object were to travel high enough, they could cross into the path of that light, thus illuminating itself. They would be seeing over the curve. This is what is predicted by the round Earth model, but has it been verified to be the case? Well, listed in link 8 and link 9, you will see the dates of rocket launches. And these engineering examples of pure badassery have the capability of reaching the altitudes needed. And as you can see in the links provided, the illumination that was predicted by the round Earth model is exactly what we got. We'll stick with these for now. So, Travis, I hand it off to you.
And before you go, Travis, let me just say, Scotty Storm, I got your email and I sent you the link. So if you're watching, it's in your email. That'll bring you in.
All right, so you want me to jump in? First of all, do I sound okay? I had to take my microphone out to charge my phone while I'm talking.
Sounds okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, first of all, Kyle, thanks for contacting me. I appreciate it. And I'm talking to Reds, right? Reds Rhetoric?
Yep.
All right. Very nice to make your acquaintance. I appreciate it. to be perfectly honest, I am not going to say anything that you haven't already heard, and I'm probably not even going to be able to say it as eloquently as others who have come before me. Whether or not it's Jaren, whether or not it's Morgyle, Southern Israelite, whatever, whoever you've talked to, you've heard it all before. So this is going to be an echo chamber, at least coming from my perspective. But what I would like to say, I think, in the same vein that I said when I was on here the last time, is that I try to approach this discussion from my perspective on my worldview in a fashion that is logical, that is simple, and that is empirical, which means that I do believe that our interpretation of our world is based upon our sensory experience, and we use our minds to process information that comes to us. But when we start to venture outside of our empirical observations into the metaphysical is where I think the line should be drawn. And not to say that those things shouldn't be considered, but that those postulations that are purely ideas, as we try to figure out what it is we're observing, I think that they ought to take a backseat to our empirical observations. So to try to flesh that out a little bit, what that means is ultimately, if I hear an explanation of an idea that seems to contradict or go against what I experience in my empirical interpretation of my world around me, I'm going to hold that explanation at a distance and try to approach the understanding of those things again through my natural senses, through those observations. So, for instance, I mentioned before that one of the first things that I would address is the fact that we do not feel motion. I don't believe that the explanation of the scale of the Earth, which I call in my discussions the great scale negator, and that is that we are told that the scale of the Earth is such that it is beyond our ability to determine or detect that which is real or that which is authentic about its physical properties. So, for instance, I've heard it repeatedly discussed that we are like ants on a giant ball because we are so small and the ball is so large, we are not able to detect either the curvature or even the angular and rim speed of a spinning orb. I don't think that metaphysical explanation outweighs what I would consider my empirical observation of being able to detect motion. Going into talking about observing curvature, I don't believe that there is anything that I have ever experienced in my observations, either on a plane at typical cruising altitudes or looking out over the ocean. I have never detected curvature. Rez made the mention of water always seeking its level. I actually tend to think that this is where we ought to hang our hats because in our physical observation of our world, that is something that I think is scalable at any degree. So that if we start out with any container that is filled with water, we can see that the surface level is flat. And I would disagree with Red's. Level does mean flat. I'm not going to quibble between those two terms. We can discuss that if we need to in the future, but level does mean flat. So if we take these three things at least, detecting motion, detecting curvature, and observing that water is always flat, that we have those three things in our world that we do not experience on two levels. We don't experience motion. We don't experience curvature. We do experience the leveling out of water. That, in my opinion, should be a more poignant consideration for us as we look at, I think, what is explained by metaphysical ideas. So if we go back to, you guys are going to have to give me a time thing in terms of where I'm at, because I have no clue.
with this being more discussion, you don't have to worry about time so much.
Okay.
Yeah, just get your thought out.
Okay. Well, let me go into just one other thing then. So talking about the metaphysical, okay, when we talk about the metaphysical, we have to talk about something that is outside of our physical empirical experience, except for the fact that we see things. So if we go back to, say, Copernicus, who is studying the heavens, and he's looking up at the heavens, he's seeing something with his eyes, and so he is having a sensory experience. However, he cannot test, he cannot tangibly go to or manipulate the information. He can only form ideas. He can only form hypotheses about what it is he is seeing. And in my opinion, as far as I've looked into it and going back into my previous education as well, he was simply postulating explanations for what he was observing in the heavens. And when you do that, you can come up with anything. You can explain what you're seeing in any fashion and represent that explanation mathematically. So when we say math is not reality, we do not mean that 1 + 1 doesn't really equal 2. That's not what we mean. What we mean by math not being reality is in terms of the metaphysical. And so earlier on, Reds, you gave an equation for something. I can't remember what it was necessarily, but if you wanted to repeat it at a later time, that's fine. But that representation of your measurement of the sun is a metaphysical expression. And so when you have values and variables represented by symbols, that is what we mean when we say that's not reality. So I guess for what it's worth, I'll stop there and see where we can go.
All right, Scotty, right. Let's check in with you. Can you hear us? Let's get an audio check from you real quick.
Yeah, beep to it, Kyle.
Oh, I'm going to let you. I just want to make sure his audio is good.
Then, yeah, right, that's what I was asking for. I believe I heard you, Scotty. Want to try again?
Can you hear me again?
Yep. I heard you. Did everyone else hear?
Yes.
All right.
That's good to go.
All right, Scotty. So did you hear? Yep. Scotty, did you hear how we're doing this between you two and Red?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
it was more discussion format. Well, here you are. Chance to introduce yourself and why you posit that the Earth is flat.
Okay. So how's it going, Reds? How's it going, Plane? How's it going, fellas? Non-check of the show. Hello. Well, I'd say common sense with Occam's razor is probably my best realization that the world's flat. If you look at it this way, using logic, common sense, and Occam's razor, all you have to do is observe that the sun and moon are obviously small and local. They obviously travel around us. Which is common sense. You can't feel, detect, see, experience the Earth move, not only through space, but its rotation. But you guys say it moves. It's called a horizon for a reason, because it's horizontal. It's not a curved horizon. So if you just bring back things back down to, you know, a common sense level, as Carl Sagan would say, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And to contradict our obvious observable reality, and to say we live in a round spinning ball, which contradicts our observable reality, well, I'd say extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And what the round Earth ball model, however you want to call it, what it comes down to is you need to prove two things. You need to prove A, the Earth moves. Not only it moves, but it spins. It moves through space, and it rotates. But B, you're going to prove the Earth not only curves, but it curves so much that it curves in on itself and somehow becomes a magical ball. And so it's really, and that's my claims. And about talking about a model, people say, oh, what's your model? Well, if the reality was that we have been deceived and lied to on such a level, how are we going to even, speculate on where we're living if the lie is that big? So, we can't travel, in every single place in certain places around the world. And we don't get the funding of as NASA does. So, you know, the model I'd say would be the Earth's flat, it doesn't move, and go from there. And now, for people to say it moves, and somehow, you know, my question would be, number one, when did the Earth start moving? Number two, and how could you tell? I think that's fair.
Okay. Red?
All right, it's my turn.
Yep, have at it.
All right, thank you. All right, so I'll go ahead and answer each of these one at a time. Actually, both of you guys are missing the point on one thing. When we're talking about geometry, you both do realize that motion is irrelevant to the shape, right? So let me give you an example. Take a ball. Put it on the
disc. This is my turn.
Hang on, Scotty. Reasonable discussion. Let Red get his point out, and then you will be able to refute it.
Reasonable-ish.
Yeah.
So let's try this again. So when we're talking about flat versus round, we're talking about the shape of the Earth. Motion is irrelevant to its shape. Take a ball, put it on the table. Is it moving? No. Has it stopped being a ball? No. Then why the hell is this an actual point of flat earthers? Motion is irrelevant to its shape. We need to first get the shape down before we can talk about the motion. Also, moving forward from there, actually level does not mean flat. An example, have a crooked shelf. Is the surface of the shelf flat? Yes. Is it level? No. Then stop using the words interchangeably. Level does not mean flat. So you can have a level surface, and yet you can still have a curved surface. Level just means tangent to the pull of gravity. That's it. And no, actually, it is not scalable when we're talking about gravity, because we have no way of negating the gravity field we are already in. In other words, we have no way of having a gravitationally sterile environment so the gravity of the ball can be the dominant body for the water to stick to. If you wish to go ahead and do this through experiment, then you're going to have to find some way to turn off gravity. Good luck with that, by the way. And when I say math is reality, I mean that by using the right inputs in the right equations for the right situations, you will have an answer that comports with reality. When I use the actual law of perspective, alpha equals 2 times the arctan of g over 2r, that can be tested in reality. You can go ahead and take that equation, build a scale model, have those values, and no matter which data point you wish to try and solve for, that equation will give you the correct output. It will give you the correct answer that comports with reality. Now, if we go to the look of curvature, you mentioned that you've never seen curvature directly. I've not only taken pictures of the curvature itself, not only has Soundly taken pictures of the curve itself, we also did it with a flat earther camera of choice, Nikon P900 and P1000s at this point. Not only have we demonstrated that the horizon actually does not rise to eye level, it does fall, actually, which we have demonstrated with the use of DJI Mavic drones, airplanes, and the Ditropa app, which anyone can actually verify. Everything that we have done in reality demonstrates the curvature of the Earth, which is why I was pretty shocked to hear you have no explanation for the sun equinox observation, the equatorial telescope observation, or the fact that the rocket illumination observation that I did not once, but twice through my own camera. All of these point to one thing. So you're basically saying that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Well, thankfully, we have extraordinary kit that allows us to get that extraordinary evidence. And that's why it is listed for you down below in the description of this debate. So the only way that you can move forward from here is to explain or somehow refute what I have presented here. Explain the equatorial telescope. Wow. Explain how it could work on a flat surface. Explain the equinox observation and the contradictions that plague the flat Earth model. And also explain how we were able to witness the effects of curvature on objects such as rocket launches. Go.
Well, first of all, what you're trying to obfuscate, Red's rhetoric, is that you're trying to say my whole model of reality that doesn't come from a big bang, doesn't come from moving particles, and doesn't, you know, how did the ball begin. It was spinning. Your whole model of reality is based on the ball moving, and you're trying to obfuscate that point? Bullshit. Give me evidence that the Earth moves. Go on. Don't worry. I'll wait.
Okay.
Can I jump in real quick?
Sure you can, but I have to reply to that. Origin is irrelevant to its shape. Take a ball.
Bullshit.
My turn.
We let you talk, Scotty. We let you talk, Travis.
It's early.
Same courtesy, both directions, please.
Everyone can say what he's doing here.
Hey,
my job's done.
I don't. I don't want to have to ask the moderators to actually mute you, but they will if they have to. I let you talk. Give me the same respect. So again, take a ball. Look at the ball. See that the ball is made in China. Have another ball. Look at the ball.
You're repeating garbage.
We're gonna have to mute you, Scotty.
Scotty, do not interrupt.
One less line next time. One less line next time.
If you interrupt, Scotty, you gotta just let him talk, man. Just hold on, buddy.
We're gonna let you speak. I promise.
Travis gets it, and actually, Travis will get it the chance to speak his piece next. So, if you need to take a couple notes for yourself, Scotty, to keep the points relevant to your comments, I do suggest doing that.
Okay, so repeating this for the third fucking time, let's see if I can actually get a word in. Origin is irrelevant to its shape. Demonstration of this. Take a ball. See that the ball is made in China. Take another ball. See that the ball is made in Taiwan. Two different origins, yet the same fucking shape. Origin is irrelevant to its shape. How the ball came about and is it a ball is two separate questions. What you're trying to do is dogpile irrelevant bullshit to get away from the question of what shape is the Earth actually and how can we demonstrate that empirically. So, once again, origin is irrelevant to its shape. And I gave you an example of that being the case. Travis, you're next.
All right, so I think that I'm going to echo a little bit of what Scotty had said, but I think that it's pertinent to the discussion. So your point, Reds, I think, when you were making it, is that motion is irrelevant to the shape. You had made that statement, correct?
Yes, correct. Motion is irrelevant to the shape.
Okay. I would say that caveat is irrelevant because we're talking about motion. When I said in my opening statements that I don't detect motion, I didn't say anything about the shape, so I wasn't addressing that issue.
Yeah. Correction, Travis. You said feel motion, not detect motion.
Okay. Well, are you going to quibble about that verb? Really?
Yes, because it matters. The words you choose do matter because words have meaning. And if you want to convey your message appropriately, you need to make sure you are using the correct language.
Okay. So
argument from dictionary.
Okay. So for clarification, are you implying that my choice of the word feel implied the shape?
No, I'm saying from my standpoint and my experience, there is a massive difference between being able to feel the motion and being able to detect the motion.
Correct.
Okay, well...
Words matter.
I'm not that pedantic, but going back to what I was going to say, Red's caveat about the shape having no relevancy to the motion is irrelevant because... We're going to talk about all of those points. We're going to talk about the shape. We're going to talk about the motion. But we're talking about motion. So the question is the Earth spinning?
Is that it?
That's my question.
Okay. It's actually not irrelevant. It's a direct response to what you said. What you said was actually irrelevant, because the only reason I responded in the way I did was because I was trying to tell you that the motion of a planet is irrelevant to the shape of a planet. Just like I said, that's like what I said in my example. So do you disagree with this example? If I put a ball and put it on the table, that because that ball is not moving, that it stops being a ball.
I have to be honest with you. I have no idea how you're making this sequential leap. I would call a non sequitur here. I think what you're saying does not follow from my point that I made.
Okay, then let me try to educate on how it does. You mentioned something that was irrelevant, which was motion. You're engaged in some debate, which is about motion, but you're not engaged in this debate, which is about geometry. The shape of the Earth is what we are debating here. It's flat Earth versus round Earth. So motion is not stated anywhere in that bracket that we have agreed to. Flat Earth is a shape. Round Earth is a shape. Whether that disc is spinning, going lopsided, or being thrown like a frisbee by God's dog doesn't matter in this debate. We're talking about the shape, the geometry, and that is a direct response to what you said. So actually, no, it's not a non sequitur.
Okay, well, I guess I would have to default on the fact that I wasn't given enough information to make certain statements that weren't going to go against the agreed upon parameters, because you seem to be quoting something that was in existence before I came into the arena tonight. But
I'm quoting you directly.
No. What I mean is, I felt like you were giving me the parameters of the debate itself. Like, okay, we had this information beforehand. We're talking about the shape itself. So I guess, again, I thought that there was a little bit of flexibility in terms of arguing for my position.
I'm more than happy to talk about the motion of the Earth, but that is a different subject, because then we get into the idea of geocentrism versus heliocentrism and some other type of sensism, whatever the fuck we want to call it. But that is a different debate.
Okay. All right. So one thing that I would follow up with is to say that context, I think, would be the key to understanding the meaning of level and flat. So it would be a non sequitur for you to bring up a leaning shelf, because we're not talking about leaning shelves. We're talking about the horizon at its base. And so when we're talking about the horizon is both level and flat. So there's my context for giving you those two terms as synonymous.
Okay, you can go ahead and use them in a synonymous way, but I'm telling you that you will be at odds with literally everybody else that knows how words work. And just as Jared said earlier, words are important. Level does not mean flat. The reason why I gave the shelf example was, again, in a direct response to what you said. So again, it's not a non sequitur. The reason why I give that to you is to tell you to be careful. When you say level means flat, then basically you're saying that everything that's level is automatically flat. I do not agree with that, and I will not be moving forward with that assumption. Assumptions make an ass out of you and me. So that's why I say, if we are going to look at something as level, I'm not going to make the jump to therefore it means flat, because I agree that water is level, but I disagree that the waters of the oceans of the world are flat. And I have observations that show that they are actually not flat, as linked in the description of this debate.
Okay, well then I would counter that with responding to your definition of level, which I think that you based upon gravity. Is that correct?
Gravity?
You gave a definition of level when you were talking about the difference between a shelf being flat and level, and then you identified
perpendicular to the pull of gravity. You were asking for my definition. Yes, it means perpendicular to the pull of gravity. Laser levels take gravity into account.
Right. Well, obviously, I would disagree with that definition of level because I do not assume gravity. So we are not going to agree on that meaning of the word level.
No, no, you disagree with gravity in a scientific sense. But you and I do agree that there is some force that has a downward pull, right? Whether you think it's the curvature of space-time or whether you think it's density, it doesn't matter. There is some force that is keeping us anchored to the ground right now, correct?
I do not assume that, no.
Okay, then why isn't shit just randomly floating around? Why do things fall in the vacuum, for example?
Well, I think you're asking two different questions. So why aren't things randomly floating around? Why should they be?
Because if you have no force holding you there, then there's no reason why they would stick to the ground in the first place.
And your justification for that statement is what?
By the mere fact that if you have nothing to facilitate something happening, then that thing is not going to happen. You're literally trying to say that zero equals one here.
No, I'm not. I'm actually asking you to justify the statements that you're making. You're making
I'm asking
you to justify them.
No, I'm asking you to justify your assumption that if there is absolutely no reason why something should be anchored to the ground, that it should stay anchored to the ground. I have no reason for something happening. It's happening. Tell me how this logic makes sense.
I have no experience of something happening. Therefore, I don't believe it should happen. Okay, so when you say, why aren't
No, you do have experience.
Random? Okay,
you do have experience.
Okay, when you say, why don't things randomly float around? I don't have an experience of things randomly floating around, so I'm not going to assume that things should. I do not ask those questions.
Maybe that's your problem.
No, it's not my problem because I don't have an experience that tells me that I should be asking the question, why am I not floating in the air right now?
Well, again, the fact that you're not asking that question right now is, again, a problem. Because if you're looking at objects around you, I have a fucking quarter. I let it go. Why does it do that? If you have no answer for that, if you have no explanation on why that is the case, then you really can't speak to anything that has gravitational consequence. You can't speak to water sticking to a ball, or in this case, a flat earth. You can't explain why your container actually justifies anything that you're saying. You literally cannot use fundamental forces around you that are influenced in any way, shape, or form by gravity to make any point in the future ever, because you are essentially cutting it off right at the head. Why does it do that?
Because it's heavier than the air in which it is falling.
So you say that density is the reason why objects fall, correct?
I am going to say that density is the reason why an object travels through a medium until it reaches a more dense medium through which it cannot pass.
Cool. So density gradients provide the directional force for objects to fall, correct?
Density gradients provide the... Say it again?
Directional influence for objects to fall, correct?
That sounds fine. Yeah, sure.
Okay, good. So if I put this object in the vacuum, thus eliminating density gradients, why do objects still fall?
You've simply changed the medium so that if you have, it's no different. It's just the most, I guess the horrible way to put it is the most least dense medium. So for instance, how about
there is no medium in a vacuum.
I know. Just hold on for a second and just go with me conceptually. We start off with water in the container and we drop the quarter. We empty the container of water and it has air. Okay? It still drops through. Now, we empty the container of air and it still drops through. I don't have a reason to postulate something outside of my experience other than the fact that it is still falling through a less dense medium, whether or not that medium is at zero or negative 10 or whatever, because it's still in my world. You know, it's still right there in front of me.
Okay? But your world, so, I mean, but, but, But the world that you are describing has an inherent contradiction. You're saying that the reason why objects fall is because of a medium. If you drop a quarter through water, it's going to fall at a slow rate. Empty the water, slightly lighter medium, less, let's say, less thickness of medium, it falls faster. And then you get rid of even more medium, it falls faster. It seems to me that if that density gradient of a certain medium is the reason why objects fall, it seems that it falls more efficiently when we get rid of the medium. So it's almost like medium that you are referring to is not the cause of objects falling. If anything, it's fighting against it based on what you just described. So how can something be against something yet for something in that exact case?
I would have to go back and hear myself. I don't know that I said that the medium is the cause. I think that I was just saying that the medium is the is that through which the object is passing.
I said that I asked you a question point blank, which was, so density gradients of the medium provide the directional influence of the object. And you said, yes, that sounds great.
Okay, so you're implying that the density is the cause of something falling?
No, I'm saying that's what you believe. And I'm pointing out problems with saying what you just said. If you're saying that density gradients are the reason why objects fall, then you have to describe to me or explain to me why objects fall in a vacuum when we get rid of those density gradients.
Yeah, I would, again, the weight of a thing is the reason why it passes through the medium. So the medium is simply that through which it is passing. I wasn't trying to be specific in terms of saying that the medium causes or the medium is the reason why a thing falls, regardless of whether or not you inferred that from my statement. Again, I'm just going to simply go back that if we look at different mediums with different densities and we have the lightest medium at the top, whatever measurement that is, that's just where you're going to start. And if you create a medium in a container where you evacuate what you think is there or what you know is there, I just don't draw the conclusion that quarter should be floating in that vacuum of space, whatever it is in that container. So I'm not going to draw the same conclusions you are. I'm not assuming. I think that there are certain things that you assume in your worldview that lead you to ask questions that I don't. So for instance, when I'm talking to someone and I say, I don't believe in gravity, I have had this question more often than not. Well, then what's holding us to the ground? You see, I don't ask that question. My question back to that person is, why are you asking that question? What is it that's making you ask, and what is it that you think is happening that should lead to something else happening? So, I mean, I guess that's as far as I can go with. I don't think that giving a vacuum in a container is then justification to say, look, there's gravity, because it wasn't there before in the natural atmosphere. At 10,000 feet, at 5,000 feet, at 1,000, at 10, whatever. And then when it hit water, it hit another medium. Gravity didn't all of a sudden come into play. It was never there to begin with. So we're...
Well, that's a leap. No, it actually is backwards. You don't ask the question, but I do, because that is the natural progression of trying to figure out what our world is actually. Because you don't make the jump to ask the obvious next question does not mean that anyone is at fault for anything for just asking you the same exact question. Then what is holding us to the ground? And when trying to figure out what actually is gravity, what is this downward force in your worldview, we're actually getting a contradictory answer. And that's why I'm capitalizing on it, because what you are describing to me does not make any sense. If anything, everything that you describe to me negates gravity, doesn't support gravity. And so you to use gravity in your arguments or to say that it just flat out doesn't exist leads me to believe that the only reason you're saying that is because you have a misunderstanding of what gravity is and how it actually works and how it can be demonstrated and verified and how it doesn't comport with what you think gravity is.
I didn't write this down. You had said something early on about the statement that I made about someone asking a question that would be natural for them, and then if I don't ask that question, it's because of my lack of understanding. So you said that it's a natural response, or it's a natural question to ask.
But Hang on one second. If you're not talking, guys, can you please mute? I'm getting back feed from somebody. Sorry, go ahead.
No, can you go back to, do you think you can go back and restate that again? Because my question would be, what is your argument that it's a natural question to ask this?
Yeah. All right, whoever has background noise, again, if you're not talking, right, please mute your mic.
Yeah, Scott, Scotty, if that's you, please make sure you're muted. Once these two are done, you will be able to chime in again.
All right, so let's hope that works. So anyway, I'm sorry. So can you please repeat the question or the request?
Yeah, I think it'll be lost in tradition. I'm not good at this. Yeah, I don't assume a force. I don't assume gravity. Things fall because they're heavy, and changing the medium doesn't alter that, unless, of course, the medium is more dense than the thing that's being dropped. So
okay, so objects fall just because. Okay, then let's go ahead and go with
no,
that.
It's not just because.
Then what is it?
They are heavy.
Okay, so objects fall because they are heavy. So if objects fall because they are heavy is your answer, then I can just as easily make a jump like that that's very vague and very mysterious and doesn't answer a lot of questions and say, okay, well, water sticks to a ball because the water is lighter than the rock that's under it.
Say that one more time, please.
If you can say
that water sticks to a ball
because the rock underneath the water is heavier than the water itself. The earth is heavier than the water that's on it.
Sure. So that goes back to what I said before in my opening statement, that unless something of an explanation comports with my experience of my world, I'm not going to question it. So yeah, I've seen water hit a rock and find its level, and it flattens out and it finds its equilibrium as it spreads out until it can't spread out any farther because of surface tension or whatever it is.
Yeah,
however,
I've also seen water, you know, over large bodies of water curve. I've also seen ships disappear over the horizon. I've seen the Chicago skyline, you know, disappear depending on my altitude, especially at Warren Dunes. Right across from Chicago. I have also seen in my own great state of Florida in Tampa Bay, objects disappear over the horizon, like what I filmed in, I believe it was October 3 years ago. And I also see buildings like, for example, the Apollo Power Station that's in Apollo Beach. I'm sorry, the Tico Power Station that's in Apollo Beach. Half of that missing, 500 feet missing from viewpoint. Everything showing curvature. I also see curvature curving from left to right with the help of my DJI Mavic Pro when I went to 1,639 feet. I also see curvature thanks to Lake Pontchartrain Causeway observations done by Soundly. So you have not seen a water curve, but I sure as hell have. And thanks to the links down below, so can you. And you can go to all of these locations and do the observation yourself. Hell, I have three cameras that are perfect for the job, two P900s and a P1000. Join me at Lake Pontchartrain in December, and we can see it together.
Well, that would be interesting. When are you going?
The beginning of December. End of November, beginning of December. More like December 3rd to December 5th.
Okay. Well, that would be interesting. I would be very intrigued to do that. I as well have a P900, but what I would say in terms of...
Mine's bigger than yours.
What I would say in terms of... your examples that you gave is we are talking about the interpretation of the data. Okay, so again, I'm operating from the standpoint that water behaves in a uniform fashion. That is that from any scale, beginning as small as you can, where you've got a container that has water, surface to surface, edge to edge, that water is flat. Okay.
Well, I disagree now, with that on the small scale. What about water drops? Water drops aren't flat.
No. I said, okay, if I didn't say it, I apologize, because I would assume that you know that I know that water droplets curve. Okay. That's not what
I'm not going to assume for you. Apparently that was an error I did previously. That's why I need you to clarify literally everything you said.
That's fine. Okay, that's fine. So I'm talking about water that is contained at any level, at any scale. From
surface tension
to edge.
Is a containment.
Okay. When you say surface tension, can you describe as briefly as possible what it is you're describing?
You're saying water at any level. Or any scale, I should say. Sorry. So basically, it doesn't matter if it's a puddle, a big tub of water, a small lake, the Gulf of Mexico,
right,
or the entire Atlantic Ocean, that it's always going to be level. And here's the thing. Ignoring the water drops for a sec. So let's say a bigger scale. Let's say a dish of water going forward. So going from there, I would agree with you that water is level. What I disagree with you is that level automatically means flat, because I will agree with you. The Titanic, you know, sank in perfectly level water. I will agree with you up, down, left, right, and center. What I disagree with you on is that if you were to see that Titanic sailing away, that it would conform to what we would expect to see on a flat Earth. We would see what we would expect to see on a round Earth, which is that ship disappearing bottom up and eventually out of sight, only to hit an iceberg halfway there.
Okay. Now, you've just changed the argument because you had brought up surface tension, and I wanted you to describe that, and you went on to changing your explanation. So can we go back to what I had said about water that is contained from edge to edge is going to be flat. Now, you took issue with that, so I was wanting you to just kind of describe what it was you were taking issue with in terms of a container, be it a teacup, a sink, a bathtub, what have you.
Okay, because here's the thing. You say the word container, okay? But what I think is that you're trying to make it seem like a container is just things that have walls. No, actually. The entire Earth, which is round, is also a container. And I don't think you would agree with that. So let's start there. If you're saying container, do you also include the Earth in that definition?
As long as you're talking about ponds and lakes that have confinement.
No, I'm talking about the entire ocean that you can sail all around the Earth. Because here's the thing. When I use the word container, I also put the entire Earth in there. If we were to assume that the entire Earth had no land and it was nothing but water, pretty fucked up scenario because we would all be dead, but still, I would say that Earth is still a container. What is containing the water? Well, it would be the thing that's holding the water to that surface in the first place. Gravity. Gravity acts as the walls, if you were, that hold the liquid in place. The walls of the container hold the liquid in place. I define a container as something that will hold the liquid in place. Do you extend that definition to the Earth itself? Because if not, then we're going to be arguing past each other.
Well, I think actually you're bringing up something that is irrelevant to the discussion, because the points that I brought up just a few minutes ago were teacups, sinks, bathtubs, and ponds, and that's where I stopped. So for you to extrapolate out and now waste a few minutes going off on your redefinition of a container, I'm not going to concede to that point. So let's try to stick to what I said, where I delineated what a container was and what I meant by it. I mean something that is confined by edges that holds water inside of it.
Okay, something that is defined by edges. Okay, so
a teacup, a sink, or a bathtub, or a swimming pool. I'm asking you simply because you took issue with the fact that I said that water is always flat, and then you talked about rain droplets, and then you made a point about a container. I was simply asking you to define what it was about a teacup that wouldn't fit into my my statement that the water in the teacup is level.
Yeah, water in the teacup is level. I think you misunderstood me, which is not surprising at this point. Because
I thought you were
going to
make a point about surface tension.
I take no issue to you using the word level. What I take issue with is you equating the word level with the word flat. Because if we were to take your container example, one with walls, yes, if you were to have a small container, that water would be flat because the curvature would be too slight. It just wouldn't matter. The Earth is fucking massive. So in order to curve with the Earth, you need to have a container of sufficient size so that you can see the curvature in the first place. So if you had a container like, Lake Pontchartrain, for example, which is a lake which has edges, you will see the curvature of the Earth as linked in the description down below.
Okay, well, here's what I'm going to say in terms of my empirical interpretation. Since I've never been to Lake Pontchartrain, I'm going to make a prediction. I predict that if you go on Google Maps and pick any four points on the shoreline of Lake Pontchartrain, they are all going to be the same altitude. Now, my interpretation of that is that we're talking about a flat Earth. It has that Lake Pontchartrain has boundaries, which we call the shoreline, and that shoreline is equal to each other point on the shoreline. It is all the same altitude. Where it meets the water, where it meets the water, at least, it's all the same altitude.
I'm not going to disagree with you there because, yes, you can be on the same altitude as an altitude above the surface of a sphere. If I'm on one side of the sphere and I'm 5 feet off the surface of the sphere and I go to the other side of the sphere and I'm 5 feet off the surface of that side of the sphere, I'm still 5 feet off the surface. Just because you have the same altitude does not mean that the Earth is therefore flat.
Yes, it does, because you don't anything else. Okay. You don't have, nor can you produce, any demonstrable observation of that except for the Earth, which you are presupposing to be spherical.
It's not a presupposition. So it's actually demonstrated.
No, it's a presupposition, because if you do planar geometry, you're not going to get a curve. You're just not.
But the thing is that the other thing that planar geometry predicts is something that we don't actually see. And like I said in my original opening, when we modeled the observations with the assumed size and shape of the Earth, we actually matched what we got in reality. The observations done in reality match what is predicted by the round Earth model. Your planar geometry was also virtually modeled, and we went out into the real world to see if those observations could be replicated, and they could not. When you compare what your model predicts and what the round Earth model predicts, the round Earth model was on the correct side of the equal sign, not your guys's. So actually, no, it's not a presupposition. It's a conclusion based on empirical analysis of actual observations done by everyday people that you can do yourself. To disagree with that is to disagree with reality itself.
Okay, so let me just ask a point of clarification. You began this observation with planar geometry. Is that correct?
No, we didn't begin the observation with any sort of geometry. We began the observation by actually observing and seeing what happens. And then after we got the data points, we went and said, okay, let's go ahead and build two models. Let's build a model that's based on a flat Earth, and let's build a model that's based on the round Earth. Okay, we have a model of the flat Earth. Let's see if what we saw in reality matches up with that. Oh, look, it doesn't, to the surprise of literally nobody. let's go ahead and see if this observation matches what we would expect to see on a round Earth. Oh, look, it matches perfectly. Of the two models being proposed then, the round Earth model is the one that was on the correct side, the equal sign. It successfully made a prediction, and that prediction turned out to be the case.
All right. Well, the difficulty then is in your choice of saying that you assumed a spherical Earth when you were making these observations, because you did make that statement. So I can only go by with what you said earlier. So you know, yeah.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
Well, here's the thing. You don't actually have to take my word for it, because as Southern Fucktard, I mean, Israelite, said in the live chat, saying they match doesn't prove that they match. Correct, which is why I linked it down below so that you can see it yourself. In that link, you will see them actually. In this link, you will see a 50-minute long hangout where they build the model, they go over the observations, the day the observation was taken, the camera used, the location that they were at, and the bridge in question. And you see that with all of those parameters taken into account, the round Earth model was on the correct side of that equal sign. And if you don't believe me, go check it out for yourself. That's why I provided the links.
That's great. And I will make sure that I do look at that. But since I can't do that right now, what was the prediction that you made about the planar model? What was the prediction?
The prediction was to see the Lake Pontchartrain Causeway. So Lake Pontchartrain Causeway is going to have a certain tapering if it was on a flat Earth. On a curved Earth, the Lake Pontchartrain Causeway is going to have that. It's going to have a curving arc, and that curve is very specific. If it curves too much, then it doesn't match the round Earth model that is accepted. If it curves too little, then it's more likely to be the case that the Earth is flat than anything else. So what we did was that we said, hey, listen, let's just record and see what happens. So we went out there, and we let the cameras do the talking for us. We let reality speak for itself. We didn't go out there trying to prove a paradigm. We went out there so that the paradigm could be disproven if reality disagreed with it. And guess what? The only model that actually agreed with reality was the round Earth model. And that was not a conclusion until after all the data points were gathered. So this wasn't a presupposition. This was a conclusion based on evidence gathered in the field. Something all that right, apparently so, FE Core is unable to do.
All right. Well, I've taken up a lot of Scotty's time, so I don't know if he wants to jump in or.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Red. Have you seen a video by Martin D. Meta Doubles? He also does the same observations on Lake Pontchartrain, and what he comes back with is no curves to be seen. And science is testable and repeatable, so I'm not going to verify that this is a claim of curvature until I've seen somebody else do it with somebody from both sides. You know what I mean? Because this video is where there's no curve as well.
Well, that's why I invite him again. With two Nikon P900s and a P1000 in my arsenal, dude, there's plenty to go around. Why don't you come down to Lake Pontchartrain and we can all do it on the same day? And that way, when you all are seeing curvature as predicted by the round Earth model, you will not be able to make an excuse in real time because you're seeing it right there in front of you. And you also won't be able to make the excuse that CGI because you're recording it yourself.
Okay, well, we'll see when that time comes, buddy. And not only that, what you're saying is the Earth's movement has no relation to the heliocentric model? Yes or no?
I'm not talking about the heliocentric model. I'm talking about the round Earth. The round Earth.
Okay, now, what do you think it's round for?
Why do I think it's round?
Yeah.
Because all the evidence points to that.
Besides observations in the sky, what actual measurable proof do you have that the Earth is round down here? Not up there, down here in reality.
Okay, so first of all, observations you make above your head can actually tell you a lot about what's under your feet, but you can also go back to the observations that I made with the rocket launches, and you can also show the observations I made on the ground looking at Lake Pontchartrain and what I did with the Tico Power Station and what I did with the Chicago skyline at the Dumont Dunes or whatever the fuck it's called. I actually did these observations with the equipment that you guys tell me to use.
Is there a reason why you don't let people use your material on their channels and you say that you'll copyright strike them?
No, I never said that. And what is that?
I've heard that quite a few times. You actually saying that if anyone uses your videos, you will copyright strike them. I've heard this on many occasions, mate. So you're bullshitting.
And okay, so
people can use your videos.
Say this. Let me go ahead and say this. Let's go ahead and say that that is true. What relevance does that have?
It is true.
Let's go ahead and say that is. Yep. Why is that relevant?
It's irrelevant because if you're not letting people scrutinize your work, that's very sus to me, mate.
Ah, really? Okay, so I forgot very the copyright sus. Strike. I forgot the copyright strike that was given to Jaronism when he decided to criticize my work. Can you please tell me where those videos are? Oh, they're still up. Looks like they weren't copyright strike. Or what about Zeteticism.com when he decided to take my video in full and decide to scrutinize it by making a transformative piece? Oh, no copyright strike there. Well, I guess you're full of shit, mate.
So you don't mind people scrutinizing your work on their channels? Yes or no?
Which is why it's been scrutinized multiple fucking times, douchebag. Look it up.
But when people scrutinize it, you just keep fucking shutting it down, mate. That is very dishonest, mate.
Yeah, which is why you haven't been able to provide any evidence of this.
You believe the Earth curves, okay? Now, what's your natural observed phenomenon that makes you think the Earth moves? Why don't we go through the scientific method and see how fake it?
Hang on. Scientific method and say you fake it? What?
Why don't we go through the exact scientific method and see how you come up with trying to prove that the Earth curves, and not only curves, but it curves into a ball, A, and B moves. Not only through space, but rotates. Can you back that up by using the actual scientific method with a scientific hypnosis? Or
correct.
What's your observed phenomenon, first of all?
The exact observed phenomenon that we were just discussing over the last 35 minutes. Where the fuck were you?
Okay, well, go on. I want you to repeat it then.
Oh, no, I'm not going to repeat the whole damn thing. Go. You were obviously here listening.
You were so easily destroyed. You can't even prove your fucking moves. You don't learn curves, mate. And you have to first prove.
Scotty, are you real?
Hang on. Gavel. Scotty, we are talking about step one, not step three. Stick to the shape, which is the actual discussion.
So you're saying you can't prove it moves, which is your whole basis of your whole model. But don't talk about things you can't prove.
No, hang on, Red. Scotty, that is not what I'm saying. That is not what Red is saying. What we are saying is that is not the topic of discussion right now. As I was actually put to Travis earlier with his chosen verbiage, there is a difference between feeling the motion and detecting the motion.
Okay, so you can detect it, can you?
Yes, you can. But that is not the topic of this discussion.
How?
That is not the topic of the discussion right now.
Exactly, because you'll just get destroyed because you can't prove it fucking lives. Common sense debunks the globe Earth, mate.
Okay, cool. So anyway, now that we can get back on the shape, let's go ahead and talk about that, shall we?
Oh, I love you, mate. You're just making yourself look like a fucking idiot. It's fucking hilarious.
I don't swing in that way. I mean, a lot of people are in love with me, but I have
proof,
a girlfriend.
Because
sorry.
You can't prove the spin of the Earth, first of all.
Sorry, I have a girlfriend. I don't like it that way.
Hang on, Gavel. Scotty, I have to call you out as a liar right now because we have had multiple discussions, you and I, where I have explained to you how the motion of the Earth is directly measurable. To say that it's never been demonstrated to you,
because
that is not the topic of this discussion. To say it hasn't happened is being outright dishonest.
Are you really this fucking ignorant where you don't realize that motion is irrelevant to shape? Are you really that big of a fucking cuck? Please, demonstrate to everyone how much of a fucking idiot you are by saying to everyone that you don't see that there's a difference there. That you don't see a difference in topic between motion and shape. Please prove that to everyone. Please demonstrate your ignorance.
What, please prove that you can't prove the Earth moves. Is that what? What are you talking about? Have you gone mental?
You are talking about the shape, Scotty. You and I have had discussions about the motion. That is not the topic.
So the Earth's spin didn't create its shape. Is that what you're saying?
That isn't. We are not talking about the
Earth's spin. The Earth's spin did not create its spherical shape.
Does not have anything to do with its shape, you fucking dumbass. It has something to do with hydrostatic equilibrium.
Yes, dumpster fire.
The spin actually deforms the shit, you fucking cunt.
Yes.
I mean, you don't know the first fucking thing about science, and you think you have the audacity to lecture me on how astronomy fucking works and how the shape of the Earth actually formed?
Yeah,
you
don't lights fucking the realize that. The only thing lights in the sky prove it. Lights are moving in the fucking sky right now.
The shape of a globe? You're a fucking idiot, dude.
Give it to me.
Seriously. It's like holy shit, dude.
The Earth doesn't move, but don't let anyone else do that.
This is creepy.
like stick to the fucking topic if you can, dude. But dude, you're like reality.
I'll stick to the topic once you stick to reality.
Yeah, man. I do stick to reality, which is why I stick to the round Earth model, you dipshit. Nonsense. You're the one that lives in a fantasy land of no gravity. You're the one that sticks to a fucking fantasy Earth that thinks the sun is literally 3,000 miles away.
I am so hard
right
now.
When did I say the sun was 3,000 miles away? Mate, you think the sun's 93 million miles away, moron?
You believe in a fucking dome, for fuck's sake.
Wait, Scotty, it's not a belief. It's a measurement.
Oh, it's a measurement with your fucking dick, did ya? You're 2 inches
We can detect it.
Yes, I measure it with radar. Yeah, because the sun's something physical you can fucking measure with radar.
Yeah, except we didn't measure it directly with radar.
Gravitational waves, yeah? Oh, gravitational waves.
Hey, Scotty, tell me what an
interferometer
means.
Oh, I love saying Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye's cock. Oh!
The supercomputer is really smoking on this one, guys. This is the best that Flat Earth has. Can't tell us that's
the most shape of motion. I've never seen a cocaine in my life. This is the greatest ever.
The Lesser Ape has been released.
Seriously, this is basically the best that we have to offer than Flat Earth has been the ultimate dumpster fire.
It's like Flat Earth.
All we need now to make this night complete is just for Debbie to come in for 5 minutes and
why the fuck do you do this shit to me, Kyle?
He's got Debbie, the gloves on. He's ready for Debbie.
It's bad enough you have a fucking iPhone, but now I have to deal with this shit.
We know that you're not feeling well, but just come in and say hello to everyone.
First of all, to be able to even invoke gravity, number one, the world works perfectly with density and buoyancy, and there being a real up and down,
except
not a universal one, because we live on our bloody blue marble testicle in a vacuum on the space.
It doesn't actually. Describe how shit
reality.
Falls in a vacuum then. Describe how shit falls in the vacuum then without your fucking density.
It falls because there's nothing. You've changed the medium. You can't change the medium and say, in a vacuum, things fall because of this bullshit.
It's not a fucking vacuum, you fucking shithead.
Okay.
Welcome
you
to science. Welcome
you have
to
prove the Earth is a globe that you stick to before you
GPS,
even invoke
bitch.
Gravity, mate.
Scotty, you
welcome
need to invest in
satellite age. I love how you use Google Maps on your fucking Samsung.
Wow, that was harsh.
Hey, how does an astrolabe work?
I mean, bitch, when it comes to shit talking, you're fucking with the best. Just make sure you realize that.
Really? Well, fucking, if you say so, buddy.
Oh, don't worry.
Red,
would be the first time a flat earther has been made my bitch.
Hey Red, you believe in the Coriolis effect, yeah?
Believe in it or understand it?
You believe in it, yeah? Okay.
Believe in it or understand it? Be very careful about the words you use.
Just like you constitute religion for facts. Okay, yeah, that's all right. Well, because the thing is, right?
What religion?
So you're saying
what religion?
The atmosphere.
What religion?
So you're saying the atmosphere and the Earth are connected. They move with each other, yeah?
I think I actually found someone who's dumber than Bro Sanchez.
No, Red. So does the atmosphere and the Earth...
I know. Was that
does the atmosphere and the Earth move...
Let's not hit below the belt now, Red. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Red, does the atmosphere move the Earth? Yes or no?
No, the atmosphere does not move the Earth. What the fuck? What the hell,
Scotty,
the fuck is wrong with you?
Hold on. This reminds me of something, Scotty. Do you think that you can go up in a helicopter and hover for a little bit of time, and whatever country that you want to like land on will just roll over eventually? Like, what's his face?
I'm trying to establish if the atmosphere and the Earth move with each other in sync. Yes or no?
If you're a DTD, please don't reproduce.
I'm asking you a simple fucking question you can't even answer. Does the atmosphere move each other? Yes or no?
Clean the shit out of your ears and listen next time. I answered your question directly. You asked me, does the atmosphere move the fucking Earth? And I said, no, you fucking dipshit. Where the fuck are you getting that information from?
I think this is a movie.
For the Coriolis effect to exist, you need a non-inertial reference frame. The atmosphere moves, the Earth moves. Where's your non-inertial reference frame for the Coriolis effect? Go.
The fact that they're both in motion.
Exactly, laughing at stupidity.
The fact they're both in motion, you shit face. Oh my.
So, okay, so.
I'm turning around, I don't see it. I can fucking see it.
So, you just take it both in motion, yeah?
Scotty, can we keep you?
You just said they're both in motion, yeah? Yeah?
Oh my god.
This is like Scotty, dumpster fire.
Scotty, can we teach you some new words? Can we teach you new words, Scotty?
You have no idea what is even contemplating for your minds. Wow.
Fucking great. I'm going to need some alcohol for this.
I'm both in sync with each other.
Permission from Kyle and Steve. I just want to hijack your show for half a second. I want to add something to the live chat. That's okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to ask, guys. Are we thinking Poe or complete fucking idiot? Cast your votes now.
Oh, it's gotta be a Poe. Gotta be a Poe.
Oh, nobody can be this stupid.
But you know, I knew this was gonna be good. I knew this was gonna be good when Scotty came in, and the first thing that he said was Occam's Razor. I knew that it was going to be because
on my side though, so I don't know why you're
no contest. No, it's not.
Dave, you have that clip
though. Occam's Razor's on my side though.
What really sucks here? What really sucks here is that. Is that about? No concepts actually paid $500 for me to talk to you about people.
So you're saying the sun and moon don't move around us?
I don't think you know what Occam's Razor actually entails, by the way. I honestly
Occam's Razor.
Occam's Razor. Well, the simplest answer is our common sense, and guess what?
That's not what Occam's Razor is.
That's not what Occam's Razor is. You don't even know what the fuck Occam's Razor is, and you're trying to use it in an argument.
Okay, now, well, I'm going to... Okay. That might be the only smart thing you ever said.
You are stupid.
Can I offer you a paragraph of irrefutable photo of evidence?
Oh, a photograph. Ooh.
No,
wow.
No. A paragraph kind of thing.
Sure. I only presented other observations filmed in 4K. Please give me a photograph.
No, I'd love to see Travis's face. Paragraph of... Yeah.
Okay. First of all, are you guys... fan of the Beatles?
No.
Not
okay,
really.
So
fuck the Beatles.
Fair enough. Me all, to be honest. Okay, so have you heard of Paul McCartney's song called Fool on a Hill?
No.
This is how the song goes. And have a good think about the song.
Okay. Is he gonna sing?
Perfectly still. Nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool, but he never gives an answer. But the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning around.
Are you putting forth the Beatles lyrics as proof for flat Earth?
Yeah.
The Beatles are proof for flat Earth.
Please say yes.
Beatles.
McCartney's song was making fun of Globers, thinking the sun actually goes down when it goes out of line of sight, and thinking the Earth actually moves.
Oh,
just,
my God.
It's head, mate.
Listen,
it
so does Pink
move.
Floyd. Scotty, so does Pink Floyd. The Wish You Were Here, you know, We're Just Two Lost Souls Swimming in a Fishbowl year after year. Same thing. That's the firmament, man. Pink Floyd proved flat Earth. They were ahead of their time, too, man.
Hang on, Scotty. What song? The only song that I imagine you writing is The Time My Wife Met My Girlfriend, okay? Paul McCartney, of all fucking people. That's empirical.
My cage just reads that the Earth doesn't move rhetoric, and it has nothing to do with the Earth's shape.
Take the mic out of your mouth, okay? It sounds like you're fucking
dick, Brody. Hang on, Gap.
I feel sorry.
Bit of a gavel there. Bit of a gavel there. Scotty, you just completely misrepresented what Red has been saying. He never said that the Earth doesn't move.
It's too late, Jared.
I know. I just
rage quit happened. Rage quit.
Oh, he rage quit.
Scotty left.
Yeah, pants. Scotty rage quit.
Well, it looks Scotty. It looks like we're just gonna have to let it be.
Let it be.
Yeah. So
we all live in a yellow submarine.
And to let it be known, I do have that clip, Kyle. In fact, I have just loaded it up while that was happening.
The moment's passed now.
Yeah,
after this day, I don't think we need to add. We don't need to add Wonton's voice to the. Travis still here?
Please don't.
What's sad is that No Concepts actually paid for me to talk to that douchebag. Damn, waste of money in my opinion.
I'm glad you did. That was highly entertaining for me.
He would have been better off as a flat earther going, here comes the sun and it's heading right for us.
Kyle, you shut your whore mouth. All of this is your fault and you did this shit on purpose.
I know. Listen, I felt like the Emperor from Star Wars over there. Like, as soon as it gets off, I'm like, yes.
We never had
an intention to even get No Concepts. This was all planned from the get-go.
Right. Oh, yes. Actually, No Concepts is just a it's actually just Steve.
Pseudonym. I'm No Concepts. I've been fucking with you the entire time.
I bet otherwise because you wouldn't give me $500 because you get the business for free.
Well, we wouldn't, but
we wouldn't.
Yeah. So
let's sum up where we are today. Let's sum up where we are today. We dealt with Max Colby and the merry band of cucks would be a good word for that. It was not pleasant. Then we learned about the guy that makes people drink turpentine, and then we met Travis is always capable of having a conversation. Scotty was here for the spice. So what a day, Steve. What a day.
I'm exhausted. I am physically, mentally exhausted. I'm not fronting. The whole turpentine thing was just bizarre to begin with. I still have not figured out. I got to ask Katie, how the hell does somebody drink turpentine and not die of hydrocarbon poisoning? I don't. How do you not die from that? Yeah. I don't get it.
But I think I know what's wrong with Scotty.
Hmm. You drink too much of it?
Way too much turpentine.
Yeah, way too much turpentine. He's been huffing something.
I'm gonna let everybody say their do their plugs for their channels or whatever. But I just want you guys to know that tomorrow
I get to do a plug.
We will continue with the different Digital Hammurabi will be here with us. And I don't know if you guys know, but several years ago there was a gentleman named Lord Rael that came down and claimed to be the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. Still to this day, he has a following. I'm not sure where they're based out of, but they travel around a lot. There's a quite substantial number of them. But we have a disciple that will be with us tomorrow to talk about what Jesus is like. You know, what if he's any different from back in the day, and if he's still making water into wine and feeding people with fish and bread. So that'll be fun.
All right. Okay. So I guess my turn.
Sure.
Okay. There was a Poe in the live chat and her name is Hannibal. She is not a flat earther. That is actually the GF. So if y'all can do me a big favors, she recently changed her avatar to something that I think is fucking hideous. So if you guys could please go to her channel, which I am linking right now in the live chat. Go ahead and leave a subscribe because, you know, if you subscribe to her, that just means more nice touches for me. But make sure you leave her a nice note that her video games are awesome, the videos are entertaining, that she deserves more subs, and that her avatar is absolute shit and that she should change it back to what it was originally. So if you guys can do that for me, I will be forever grateful. So yeah, I'm not going to plug my shit because there's really nothing much to see there besides rocket launches and awesome observation of water curving. So go ahead and subscribe to Hannibal instead and leave her a subscription because she deserves
that avatar's got to go.
That avatar's got to go. It's got to go. So make sure that you subscribe to Hannibal. subscribe to Hannibal, leave her a nice message that her Let's Plays are awesome and that her avatar is shit and it needs to be changed. Thank you, and that's it.
And is it
okay,
turn?
Jared?
Well, I was going to say,
Jared, Travis, whichever one.
Let Travis go, since he was the willing combatant.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to step on anybody's toes. I just didn't know if you wanted me to go next, but whatever.
By all means, go right ahead, Travis.
All right. Well, my main channel is, of course, on biblical interpretation, and it is called Rethinking Revelation. There's a feed in YouTube for it. If you look up Rethinking Revelation, the channel should come up. Otherwise, you can go to rethinkingrevelation.com. And, yeah, start at the beginning or follow all the way through. I'd appreciate any insight and feedback. I challenge two primary, well, I guess three or four, really, primary interpretations in evangelical Christianity. That is the doctrine of hell, the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. I would say possibly the doctrine of creation with Genesis 1, and then literal interpretation versus symbolic. And so that's Rethinking Revelation. Then I do have a flat earth channel called The Plain Truth. You know, it's nothing to really sneeze at. I just put up stuff that I think about and if I make any observations. So yeah, there you go. Appreciate it.
Okay. And Jared?
I'd like to thank you, Kyle and Steve, for making this wonderful show happen.
Don't blame us. You're so welcome, sir.
You're so welcome.
Kyle knew. With that, I did enjoy myself. I actually did express more restraint than I expected to. And it, you know what, Red? Normally I would thank you for this birthday present, but no, fuck you. To everyone else out there, if you haven't already, yeah, exactly. Go ahead and subscribe to my channel. I do a weekly show where a bunch of veterans get together. We talk, we drink, we do whatever the fuck we want. And also on Mondays, we go ahead and debunk random woo shit as well. Science, history, where people get things wrong. And also, coming in the near future, I will be starting up a second channel where I will be doing moto vlogs, actually showing you some of the wonderful idiots on the road in my area as I ride around on two wheels instead of four, because apparently I have a death wish.
Nice. Okay. And now we will read your super chats to close out.
Oh my goodness, there's so many of them. Okay. NANA, $1. No message, but thank you, NANA. Grossly Enigma, $2. I feel very bad for the PC the Flurfer used. By the way, we are not kidding. The No Concept has an avatar left on his YouTube channel. It says it's round, and all his videos are gone. That's no joke. Go look. So the supercomputer must have came back. It's round. NA again, couple bucks. No message. Thank you, NA. Mexican Wrath, $5. Hey, Red's Rhetoric. When are the Team Cunt shirts and coffee mugs coming? I'd buy. Good question.
January.
Okay. NANA, another dollar. Thank you, sir. Jen Morgan, smash the Flurfers. They make great de-icer for winter. True. $2. Thank you. Jen Morgan, another $5. Let's all toss in $1 to the show to celebrate the final vanquishment of all flat earthers' foolishness. The earth is a globe. I agree. I don't know how much more of these I can take. Insidious Vids, $5. I'm printing t-shirts.
You will take it.
I was there. Yeah, if he as he is, he puts the gloves on. He'll take it.
You will take it.
But that'd be the weirdest noise, Kyle. That was freaking me out. I was there when No Concepts wasn't. He heard Red wasn't doing a face reveal. That we can make a shirt of. Yeah, I was there when No Concepts wasn't.
What is he thinking, though? Like, what is he thinking? Not showing up and then deleting his channel. That's bizarre.
It doesn't make sense. No concept equals no content. True. NA, $2. Still waiting for a model of Flatardia, aren't we all? Don't hold your breath. That's never going to happen.
Flatardia.
Flatardia. £2. Bitch made. #bitch made. #show us the flatness. Rags. Rags, give us $10. Thank you, Rags. Holy cow. I didn't know dogs made any money to give. He says, quote, "No Concepts is a very appropriate name." Fair enough. Thank you, Rags.
Here, here.
Marty Murr Rules, $2. "This rape by Reds is as bad as the Chiefs and the Bengals." You know, you could have gone a lot darker than that, so I'm glad that you did it.
Can I get a moderator to fix that spamming that's going on in the chat?
I'm sorry. I'm not watching the chat.
Subscribe to Hannibal.
NA, $2. "This is a dumpster fire." Yes. Oh, yes, it was. Serbia, $5. "Being that gravity dictates the shape of spheres by being a force," it's not in relativity, by the way, "isn't it logical to say that shape is relevant to the motion of the sphere of gravity?" Sure, let's go with that. Townsend, $2. "I have no argument" equals obfuscate, obfuscate, obfuscate. Yes. Jen Morgan, $5. What's he doing is showing you as the idiot you are, Scotty boy. Give it up. Your lack of maturity makes it impossible for you to be civil. I think he was high on cocaine, to be honest with you, or something.
Yep.
I don't know what it was.
Yep.
So, holy shit.
Yep.
I'm gonna defer my resident expert here. So I'm just guessing.
One less line next time, Scotty. One less line next time.
Scotty has admitted to going on Hangouts after snorting at least one line in the past.
Well, I can't blame him. You know,
shocker.
If you're going to debate Flat Earth, you might as well be high as fuck while you do it.
Yeah, too bad they're not so high they can see the curve. Dun, dun. Okay, so I'd be at $5. "Red Jesus circular, Christ. The world is round." We all see that. Oh, so we see this. "The world is round." Yes, there be the Earth is round. Another one by Serbia, $10. Thank you. I thought gravity was not a force. It's not in general relativity. I was told in geodesic it is an observation of space-time, but no implication. Or are we giving gravity multiple properties? It depends whether you're in Newtonian or general relativity. In general relativity, it's the shortest distance between a geodesic line in space curve. That's time. But in Newtonian, then it's actually a force. That's how the other one's a metric space, right?
Well, there's the difference between big G and little g, the gravitational constant and the gravitational acceleration.
Oh, we're gonna actually get to that too in a second here. In a couple, somebody had mentioned something. So, one sec. Okay, next one. Paul Ward, "Another flat card proves ignorance to reality whilst claiming to be a quote truth seeker. Just hit play on an old Reds debate." Yeah, I mean, no, this was actually a little bit different, I think.
Eh?
I agree.
I think he froze out.
He froze out. We officially got Steve sniped. Yay!
All right.
We broke Steve.
Let me navigate to the super chat pane then.
It's all up to you, Kyle.
Oh, we're all fucked then. What was the last one you read?
Exactly. I think we were at the one where we were talking about how awesome I am.
Huh, that's weird. I don't see this.
Yeah.
Huh. Let's do this. If I have...
If you're looking it up on your iPhone, okay. I can understand why.
If I have two... God, I got to put on my broken glasses now. My eyesight's getting... I did this yesterday from yesterday's stream. I got so frustrated that I snapped my glasses. So if I have two logs, one of them twice as large as the other one, both float as if they have the same density, why does one weigh more than the other?
Okay.
Gravity and mass.
Okay. Paul Ward, £5. "Another flat card proves ignorance to reality whilst claiming to be a truth seeker. Just hit play on old Red debates." Yeah. Oh man, I'm gonna screw your name up so bad. Sigfredo, God, I hope that's right. $10, thank you. Where is a vacuum under experimentation 30 miles horizontal that tells me 9.8 miles a second in reality? Why do they fall in a vacuum?
feather and bowling ball through satellites float due to no atmosphere respectfully. Why do they fall in a vacuum?
Feather and bowling ball. In short, the misconception here was how you get rid of the air pressure, a feather and bowling ball will fall at the same rate. And then asking, well, why do satellites stay in place? Because orbital mechanics is a thing. I think that's just the beginning of it. There is a longer, more in-depth explanation, which we're wrapping the show up. So if you really do want to talk about this, come to one of my live shows. We'll go ahead and talk about it there.
Okay. Jason Schneider, $4.99. Mathematically, we can describe the arc of a thrown ball. The 9.81 number is gravity.
I was the only one that dumped, or did everybody get dumped?
Yeah, no, you, only you.
Just you.
Okay.
Devil Dog, 314 for 1,000 yen. Newton's first law is why we need to force... Newton's first law is why we need force to explain the effects of gravity, i.e. when I jump, I slow down and return to the ground. Love you guys. Keep it up. Thank you.
Hey, guys, I need to take off.
Okay.
Yeah, so do I.
Take it easy.
All right.
We're almost done. Thanks. We've got like seven more. Sisfredo, again, $2. Thank you. If satellites are in free fall, how they make 4,000...
Yeah, that's what he's saying. The thermosphere is at 3,600 degrees Celsius, but it's at very low density because it's at vacuum. So the temperature is the average kinetic energy in the system, but you have very low density of the particles. You're not transmitting that much energy per kinetic energy event. So that's why. So yes, it's at 3,600 degrees Celsius, but so what? It's at vacuum. It's not. It's one particle every couple square, cubic meters. Centimeters or something.
At vacuum.
Yeah, it's not very much.
Same reason.
Awesome. Steve,
yes, Reds.
Steve.
Yes, Reds.
Okay, I would ask Kyle this, but fuck that guy. So I'll ask you. Am I excused now so I can have a really angry wank right about now? Because we're 30 minutes
past my normal. As long as you don't think about me, I am completely content with that.
Look, we're 30 minutes past my
normal. More than you have to think about me. I'm trying to think how I should have worded that.
I am holding back on my wank session because of this shit. So can I please be excused to have a nice wank? Can I?
Either way, you're still going to have to wait till we get finished because obviously I have to be in that call. And if I'm still reading super chats, I won't be. So.
All right, guys. Take care. Peace out. Bye-bye. It's been nice. Yeah. And fuck you and your
love it when he plays hard to get. Love it.
Look at him run. Look at him run.
I'm actually having a wank right now, Reds. Why don't you just join in?
All right, let's get through these. Come on.
Go for it, Steve.
All right. Want me to finish them? They're all kind of science-y. Freddy Four Fingers, $5. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Fall flat earthers are just shills for Nikon to sell more P1900s. They're up to P9000s
right, now. That is so science-y.
I agree.
The 1,000, yeah.
Yeah? So science-y.
Sarah B at $2. Well, this one is. If there's atmosphere in space, how do they measure 4,000 degrees? Do you want to answer that one?
A thermometer.
Oh, there you go. Sarah B at $2. Density requires measurement. Explain otherwise. Serbia again, $2. Decades, $3. Laughing out loud. Heat and atmospheric pressure dichotomy. Don't know what that means, but I'll take it. NANA, what does it mean?
Well, he was talking about the temperature around satellites thing again, and that whole thing is a string of his that he had going.
I gotcha, yeah.
I am not wearing pants. I never wear
temperature
pants.
Average kinetic energy. NANA, $2. Dumpster fire, indeed. Thank you. Paul Ward, £2. Wah. Hashtag Flatardia. Sidestrake. Hey, buddy, it's been a while. $10. Mr. Gish, are you galloping again? Oh, yes, they galloped. There's a lot of galloping going on. Hannah Anderson, $20. Thank you, Hannah Anderson. Thank you. You're awesome. Please don't be like Scotty. One on the planet is enough. Fair enough. Ben Miller, $2. You like that, Scott. You and you're a fan of Debbie too. I don't get it. Edgar Allan Scotty over here. Devil Dog, 1,000 yen. If you walk 100 miles, turn right 90 degrees, walk 100 miles, turn right 90 degrees, walk 100 miles, you end up where you started. Also, things weigh less at the equator. Explain those on a flat earth. You can't. Mexican Wrath, $5. This is the dumpster fire I was looking for. Scotty needs to be the handicapped poster child of Flat Earth. I tell you, he's graduated to the, one of the highest levels of competence I've ever seen. Dimson Warnell. This is a lot of super chats. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Two Canadian discount.
That's awesome.
I'm trying to get through it too. Discount punch me, Pete.
That's funny. I'll tell you one thing about the people that watch this show. Like I don't understand it, but the people that watch the show are brilliant. Like I read the comments a lot and some of the things they come up with are just absolutely brilliant. We have a creative audience, that's for sure.
It's so much inside jokes too. For other people that have never watched an episode or don't know what the hell
is going
on.
Genuinely funny. I mean, you know, it's there are people who try to be funny and then like they're genuinely funny. And I'm surprised at the amount of people who are like actually genuinely funny that leave comments. I love it.
Insidious Vids, $2. Scotty is the name of the no concept supercomputer. Oh, Paul Ward, £2. Red is now deep in this guy. Team hashtag Team Gunt. Why is he deep in this guy? That's creepy. Jen Morgan, $2. Scotty, when do you start your third grade classes? Oh. Ayatov, $2. No concept, no need. Great dumpster fire. Thanks. Miss V, $2. Scotty, please stop licking the cane toads. ESO, $5. Happy birthday to you, Jared. Yes, by the way, happy birthday to you, Jared. Mark Beezer, $5. We all live in a yellow submarine Earth. Sidestrike again. Thank you, Sidestrike. $10. Hydrocarbons, carbohydrates. What's the difference?
Oh, I loved that one.
That sciencey joke. I guess that's funny. NA, $2. Are we not entertained? Oh God, I was entertained. Just yes. Klaus, $2, Australian. Great show. Thank you, Klaus. NA again, $2. My first dollar was a shut up multi tom tom.
This is all well spent, sir.
Oh, that was a dollar well spent because I think he got timed out for that. Paul Ward, live circle jerk for the win. And is that all of them? The update. Oh my God, I think this is all of them. That's all of them. Okay. Whew, God. That was.
Let me say something real quick. Shinobi 33333. We're not ignoring you. If you think that you have your flat earther that's ready to prove facts, you can email me at live@nonsecshow.com and we'll get you on here. We have never not said or we've never told anybody no about coming on here to I mean that much is true. You can you can verify that. So we're not ignoring you. Just send me an email.
And one last thing before we head out, before I head out. Tomorrow evening, 6 p.m. Eastern. The greatest question ever will be answered. Does size matter? The event is already on my channel, so for everyone who is subscribing, you will see.
Wow.
Can I answer that? We don't have to wait till tomorrow. Can I answer that?
Go for it, Kyle.
Yes.
I'm done.
Steve, you didn't get those last three, did you? We all live in a yellow submarine.
Yeah, you got those.
Yeah. Okay. Last one was Paul Ward, £2.
Cool.
Wow, that was grueling.
Just because I'm curious before we close out, what do you mean by the size matter? What are you referring to?
So when was that? Yesterday that you had the show, Steve, where Mr. Intelligent Design, Edgar the Egg himself showed up?
Yeah, I still am apologizing to people for that, by the way.
See, we've had a rough weekend. It has not been easy.
Our mental faculties are... I literally left the building and went for a walk listening to Ocean and Mr. ID and Gary Todd and a few other people have at it. And I must have looked like a complete freaking insane person walking down the street with my phone, laughing my ass off, tears coming down my eyes, just going, Jesus Christ, what the hell have I done? I'm surprised that nobody stopped me and asked me if I was okay.
It's time to get Mr. Intelligent Design on here, I think. Mr. Intelligent Design, how would you like to come to the rodeo? God. I don't know why I said rodeo. It just
do we want to infect more people with Edgar?
Yes.
Here we go. Landon said, "Oh God bless you, Landon." Landon said he would actually moderate between Edgar and Red Eye.
he is the moderator for tomorrow night. That is the setup. It is Red Eye versus Edgar with Landon being the guest moderator.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Sweet.
You can't miss that then.
Yeah.
I have to check it out. What time is this? What time is this again?
6 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
So 3 your time.
Yeah, I think I'll be available. Yeah, I'll be good on that. I got something to do in the morning because I'm going to be on Pimp Monk's channel. But
by the way, YouTube, just so you know, YouTube says the Non Sequitur show just went live with the supercomputer flat Earth debate.
Oh, we just got notifications.
So everybody out there knows.
It's past my shift.
Thank you, YouTube.
Whoever's doing that show, more power to them. I've had enough for today. Let them go.
Thank you.
Thank you,
YouTube, for putting out the notification on time.
Please let us know if they did in fact prove flat Earth, or if a raging cocaine addled New Zealander popped in instead. That was fantastic. This week we've got the Lord Rael guy tomorrow. Let's see what else we got. We've got Mind Readers on Tuesday, Jordan Culver on Wednesday, Scathing Atheist on Thursday, and then Climate Change on Friday with Dr. Peter Ward. So nothing controversial at all. The Mandela Effect is going to be next week. We have who's coming up for that, Steve?
Oh, that would be Rose Patton.
Yeah.
You guys don't know who Rose Patton yet. You haven't seen anything till you've met Rose Patton. She's a legend in the conspiracy community.
I will be on Fully Deconverted next week as well. And then Aaron Ra, Isaac Arthur, Martimer 81, Sargon of Akkad, Adam Kokesh are all coming back that first week in November. So that's going to be a big week. So.
And nowhere, I'm definitely not having an after show, but I want to thank everybody who's watched this. We had like 700 people watching. By the way, I will put a shout out to Reese. He actually put a photo on my Facebook page of a place that I used to live, and I recognized the mountain. And I said, I thought I did. I was like, you know, hey, I used to climb that mountain. And he's like, yeah, that's where I live. I'm like, wow, we would have been neighbors. So shout out to you, buddy. I'm not going to dox where you're at, but yes, I probably lived like 5 minutes from your house, if that's the picture.
Awesome. Cool. Well, guys, this has been a hell. Yes, Isaac Arthur, the Isaac Arthur. We're going to be talking about mind control, and can you upload your? Will there ever be a point in time where you can upload your thoughts, your experiences from your brain to a physical thing like a disc, and can that be uploaded into a new body so that essentially you don't have to worry about bodies anymore. When one wears out, you just upload everything to another one. Fascinating stuff. So, all right. We're getting the fuck out of here. I'm going to get high. Steve's going to, I'm sure, battle people Twitter about the definitions of agnosticism. And then Jared's going to go do some research on does size matter. Let me know how that goes, Jared.
Practical experiments may be needed.